Broad Street Bully Podcast, talking Flyers hockey.
Hey everyone, what's going on? It's episode 87 of the Broad Street Bully Podcast. How are we doing? The Leafs and Caps are playing right now. The Flyers are not playing. It's another episode of off-season hockey with the Flyers. It's Drew Papsky here, sporting a great Flyers shirt that will not be seen during the season until next October. Also, Jeff DeAngelis is here, and Doyle, just us three fellas, holding it down tonight. And we have a lot to talk about and breaking down this season that could have been, but wasn't, as we mostly said before the year. But, you know, Twitter's exploding, CSN Philly's exploding. It's Philly headline craziness out there. So, yeah.
Yeah, if you'd like to see some, go to our website and read our last article.
Yeah, so a little bit of a semi, I don't want to use curses yet, dung storm got stirred up.
A dung storm got stirred up. God.
Let's keep it PG for the kids.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. I don't know about you guys. When I saw the breaking news. Whew.
Yeah, Jeff, you actually broke this news. So do you care to explain to the listeners that I've not been ingratiated with this knowledge that we posted? Exclusive story breaking on our website this past Tuesday.
Claude Giroux traded his season home for his out-of-season home.
Oh, he did. Why would he do
that?
The
Flyers are out of the playoffs. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. See, everyone thought he was going to trade Holmes, they didn't make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, it's true.
A little earlier than they thought, huh?
Yeah, but I mean,
with all that money, though, you figure he had to.
Well, he goes back to Canada, where being soft is a national trait.
You can touch dudes' butts.
Yeah.
Hey, be careful, man. Mike Bond might be listening to this. He might get mad at you, our buddy at Scuttlepuck.
No. So, yeah, we...
I'll defend you, Mike. I'll defend your honor.
My favorite response to it was the guy on Facebook who just sent us the four middle finger emojis.
Oh, I actually didn't see that.
Yeah, he just sent us four middle finger emojis, and that's pretty hilarious.
Well, that's good, because he probably got excited.
Yeah.
I hope people that read that actually got kind of excited.
Most
thinking
Flyers
like,
fans were like, oh, it's about goddamn time.
I think that was our highest viewed article ever on our website so far. We didn't get a lot of, comments for it, though. We got a few, though.
No.
I think people read it just going like, oh, Jesus Christ.
They're probably just so angry.
They probably just like figures those assholes.
Yeah.
The uncensored, the bad boys of Philly sports radio.
As
self-proclaimed bad boys of Philly sports.
After they clicked on it, then they just closed the laptop.
But know what, though? I like we added at the end there a little disclaimer about why.
Yeah.
Why we did what we did.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, this week especially, I don't know if you guys saw it, but Dave Isaac and Carcitti were getting hit hard by everybody.
Yeah, because
and Isaac was firing back hard.
Well, the one guy.
What's
the
thoughts
guy
on Dave
calling,
Isaac?
I like Dave Isaac. Dave Isaac and Meltzer are probably the two last good ones.
Yeah. Meltzer being the father and Isaac being the son and us being the Holy Spirit.
Carcitti was good. And really, lately, it's just been a bunch of stuff to get you to click.
Yeah, you know what?
Shit.
When Bill Matz was on our show back in the early in the season, he was saying, like, oh, yeah, Carcitti's good. Don't talk bad about him. I'm like, okay. And you were like, yeah, he's pretty good. Like, sometimes I'm like, I know, but I still feel like his tweets are annoying.
Yeah, no.
And then he's gone off the deep end.
Season went. They showed,
probably
like,
hanging out with Tim Panaccio too much.
They showed, like, his tweet progression, and it was like, Claude Giroux, best player in the world, like, from whenever Laviolette said it or one of the players.
Yeah, it was
series.
When he hit. It was the shift.
Yeah, and then, like,
and
last week,
he literally, when they ended the series, his tweet was like, and that is when Sidney Crosby passed the torch to Claude Giroux as the best player in the world.
Yeah, maybe he was rolling in the deep for a long time.
And then it was last week, it was like, time for Flyers to move on.
Yeah. Well, then, like, we were talking about
$66 million mistake.
We were talking about that one guy tweeted at Carcitti and said, like, oh, what did he say to him? He said something about just, like, saying he's been putting out shit articles and clickbait, whatever. And he's like, him and Panaccio have been competing for the biggest dunce award in Philly media. And then all he did was, Carcitti, quoted his tweet and just corrected his grammar and didn't deny any of it or, like, come back at him at all. I was like,
I can neither confirm nor deny what I said.
I was like, so basically you're saying he's making a great point. You're not denying it.
No, you're just fixing his grammar.
You're just fixing his grammar.
I never willingly, knowingly lied.
He used then instead of than. Carcitti just needed to point that out.
Yeah.
But we did a public service announcement on our Claude Giroux traded his home story. I'm going to read it real quick. I think this is something you all should listen to, especially some of you mouth breathers listen to us. We know you're out there. We appreciate the support, but I read a fucking book. All right. Public service announcement. This is on the article on BroadStreetBully.net. In typical Philly sports reporting fashion, most articles from now until the NHL draft, and then again until training camp, will be primarily designed to get as many page views as possible and, in turn, increase that ad revenue. No two ads. I stuttered. Learn the difference. Be informed.
Today, Junior.
Click smart. Happy off season.
Today, Junior.
So, RebelBully57 tweeted, "I wasn't referring to you, Dave Isaac. I just hate the job Panache and Carcini do. They seem more interested in stirring the pot than anything." And then Dave Isaac fired back with, "We think oh so highly of you too." And then Carcini quoted the tweet and put "than star." That was it.
Wow. How many people done grammar things to him?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, that's tough.
You know what? It sucks to see that, though. I mean, what can Isaac do? He can't, like, shit on them and say, like, yeah, I'm by myself. He's kind of
affiliated with them. Well, Isaac has been... He had one of the tweets. It was a picture of his new puppy taking a crap, and he's like, this is, like, one of the people who craps on my work that, like, isn't so bad as all the usual ones or something.
Yeah.
Along those lines. So, yeah, it was... But yeah.
He can't step on, like, Panaccio or Carcini to get him up.
He does also doesn't want to stare pot at the Courier Post.
It's like a political party. They can't even though they'll talk shit about him a little bit publicly, they can't go.
Not us, because we're the unsuccessful bad boys.
Yeah, Jeff.
Flyers Hawk Radio.
Yeah, Jeff's an idiot. So feel free to call him in.
Bad boys.
Jeff's having an aneurysm right now.
Not a moment too soon.
Now you know what else all the beat writers have been excited about?
The Beats.
Did you?
They're on tour right now.
The Beats. We got the Phantoms' newest acquisitions.
Ah,
which
yes.
aren't new at all.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. So they're gonna go freaking ride up the turnpike and just be like, "Do you think you're gonna make the Flyers next year?" Just start asking dumb questions.
So
to them.
Carter Fartz is now with the Phantoms.
I think that's Josh Carter's biopic.
I believe today Philippe Myers just showed up.
Ah, Felipe.
Yeah.
Someone that you and I really liked last year. We went to that preseason game. You and I
were
pretty
Philippe,
high on him.
I was hoping he made it out of camp. They gave it to Provera. I'm going to mistake that. But
yeah, what an idiot.
Stupid. Uncensored bad boy.
See, this is good. That's actually Jeff doing his idiot talk, but not using his same candor in his voice.
Exactly.
That's good, Jeff. You're learning.
Anyway, the Phantoms.
See how mad I didn't get when you said that now?
You've been meditating. The Phantoms hit the playoffs and only got better.
He's become tolerable at
they
his
got,
old age.
They got more people. And that's that.
So when did Philippe come?
Today. He just signed, I think.
Okay.
And he's got to practice with him for a while.
How many times did he come today?
I heard they were saying that there could be a possibility that Oscar Lindblom
I saw that. He's trying
may
to
show up
too.
After the...
I don't even know how that's fair to the other teams in the AHL. I guess
It's developmental, man. It's like, oh, we need more players. We need some players on
varsity
to get more snaps.
They said Hart's probably not going
to
play, though.
We'll put him on JV to get some snaps. They're legal. It's junior. You're allowed to.
Yeah, I don't know why you would play. No, they don't really. Stolarz is hurt, but they have somebody else, right? Somebody from Reading, I think, they called up.
I have Alex Lyons, too. They called up someone from...
Was it Ouellette?
Did they?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe they called up Ouellette. You're right, yeah.
I saw that they just signed Hart to an amateur tryout.
Yeah, and he's been practicing with the team, and everyone's popped a chub already. But I think Myers is on the amateur tryout, too. But
they do have... See, this is where I'm going to take this to the next step.
Oh.
I'm going to jump ahead a few steps here, Jeff.
Big step.
Big
Game
step.
Of three steps.
This is where we can talk about... prospects.
Okay.
Because the Flyers have a shit ton of goalie prospects.
They do. They have a shit ton of defensive prospects, too.
Compared to previous years, I think shit ton is an accurate unit of measurement for that one.
Yeah, instead of just signing Ray Emery.
Yeah.
Or promoting Michael Layton.
They did have a lot. I forgot about Merrick Madsen.
Merrick Madsen, Felix Sandstrom.
Mitesh
son of
Tomek.
Michael Madsen. Mr. Pink.
God damn it.
Tomek. Hart.
Wyan. Hart.
Stolarz.
Steve Mason.
Stolarz.
Yeah.
So, if you really package goalie away and, get some stuff back.
Get that scoring winger everybody's been looking for.
You could package him, Provorov, and Ghost and get,
Alex Ovechkin.
Ovechkin or maybe, they wouldn't get Ovechkin. Maybe get a Thomas Vanek for a one-year trial.
Cal Cutterbluck.
Yes.
Cutterbluck?
Cutterbluck.
According to Twitter, prime. The Leafs are going to trade JVR back to us for Ivan Provorov.
Why would we want...
I saw that. That's a fair trade.
Yeah, why don't we just trade... No, it's not.
It's classic Leafs thought. That's why Luke Shen was... Everyone is severely overvalued. I'd be like, oh, Mitch Marner? Yeah, he's pretty good. I think it would be like two Sidney Crosbys and an Ovechkin.
Even...
on one side.
Even the Flyers fans do that to all their players too.
Oh, I know, but at least the Flyers fans have Chris Van de Velde.
Maybe it's not.
Napkin.
Maybe it's not overvaluing, but it's they think trading is the easiest thing of all time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just trade Chris Vandevelde and Andrew McDonald and a first-round pick for Kari Lehtinen and...
Yeah, what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Andrew McDonald for Kari Lehtinen and a first-round pick. The Stars will do it because they're trying to cut goalie salary, but they're just going to pick up defense salary.
Yeah, so like, so they read one fan blog of the Dallas Stars. They didn't know anything about the organization and where they're heading. Like, shut up.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do? You're going to get rid of the $5 million you're paying Lehtinen, but then you're just going to pick it back up with McDonald. It doesn't help them in the long run. They're in the same salary cap issues they had before. Yeah. Except now it's for two more years.
I don't see the Leafs making a trade with us. They're down 4-1 versus the Caps right now into the first. That was pretty cool.
I don't know why the Leafs would trade unless – what are they looking for?
They would trade
– maybe for defensemen.
They would need good defensemen like ready to go.
Like ready to go in like another year or two at the most. Yeah, because they have a team that's like –
why would you want to get –
they're
like,
a playoff team now and that they keep building and they keep improving the way they're supposed to. They could be a contender in a couple of years. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but that's what they –
What would they part with?
JBR, Kadri.
Maybe JBR. Kadri's been in all the trades. Kadri, as apparently he's got the value of Fort Knox because people are like, well, it's going to take like 4 first round picks
Is he even that good?
No, he's not.
He's a good like second line player.
Yeah, and he's kind of a shitbag. So
why would he do?
The Flyers just need to
he's
dump.
He's like a dirty player, not dirty player, but like, you know, he takes his liberties when he gets the chance to.
The Flyers just need to dump salary.
Take their liberty or give them death.
And make a run at John Tavares next year.
That's smart.
That's the only way it's going to happen.
Well, really I don't know, though, because Tavares, though? Did you read... so apparently
you really think he's going to go back to New York?
I don't think he's going to go to Philadelphia,
well,
though.
Hold on. Did
place
you
to
read
get more
that
money,
the,
he could be number one.
The Islanders have sent out feelers to other GMs asking if they think Garth Snow is a good GM.
Why would they even ask
Wait,
that?
How do we know this information?
These are the Twitter rumors from like the TSN insiders.
Oh, God.
Apparently, they've been asking around to get feelings on Garth Snow because they're not 100%
that's like bringing
sure
your
on
that's
him.
Like bringing your girlfriend out to the bar and she goes to the bed and going, hey, guys, what do you think? Is she cute or not? Like, what do you guys think?
Well,
like,
so like,
if you say no, I'm going to get rid of her. Like,
here's the
why
thing.
Who cares?
Garth Snow let Franz Nielsen walk, which not the greatest idea because he had a pretty decent season with Detroit.
And he has no friends.
He also let Okposo walk, which in light of this new health scandal... maybe a good idea, you know?
But he, still,
but
oh,
he also signed Clutterbuck and
Clutterbuck,
who's the other guy?
Or Clutterbuck,
Cizikas.
And I think, oh no, he let Martin
two
walk.
Two deals
yeah.
that, for money that's ridiculous, that they could have given to literally anybody else.
Anybody.
Yeah, isn't Clutterbuck making like 4 years or something like that?
Three something. For like the next 4 years.
That's insane.
And all he's got going for him is this stupid
and
mustache.
We complain about like a half mil contract with Vandevelde.
Right.
Or a three quarter mil.
When you
well,
look at
everybody's
like,
complaining about Dale Weiss. But that's still like $1.5 million cheaper.
Dale Weiss is still a cheap player. I keep saying it. Wait till next year.
The playoffs is the best time to find out that your team's not as bad as you thought they were. Because like, apparently Barry Trotz only played Ovechkin for like 15 minutes in the last game. And everybody, like all the Capitals fans were freaking out. And I
are
was
people
like,
firing Barry Trotz?
I was like, Hackstall gave Travis Konechny very limited ice time. Apparently he was a true visionary.
Because Ovechkin and Konechny are on the same,
exactly.
same plane.
Yeah,
they are not.
Konechny could be an Ovechkin. Who knows?
He could be. Well, but to go back to Lehigh Valley fandoms, do you see they're playing for the playoffs this year?
Yeah.
The Hershey.
Going back to versus the old rival.
The Bears.
The Bears of
the
Hershey.
The Bears.
Now, I'm being serious. You guys
the Hershey Squirts.
Game?
Yeah. They have a game this Friday and Saturday in Allentown. Now, if they we probably won't be able to make this series because it's best of five in the AHL for the first round.
Right.
So they don't play in our home game until
also,
April 30th,
did we look
until Sunday.
At ticket prices? Is it feasible for us to go?
I'm looking at them right now. I'm pulling them up.
I can't imagine it being too expensive.
Yeah, and
$300.
Like,
I'm just kidding.
Like,
that was,
that's
that,
it's a
that's
far
my back
drive
page
too.
Tab open.
Oh no! Oh no!
Just kidding. They canceled that. Fight for free speech. Adult is between 10 to 45 for
that's
a ticket.
Not bad at all.
So 45 would get you like front row. So let me see. Let's go for three
let's
adult tickets. Yeah. I'm not gonna buy them right now. The game's on Friday.
I mean.
$86.25 with fees for the three of us. $88.25.
Christ, that's not bad at all.
That's less than $30, and we would get adult and the price level red. All
right, so if they
we
make
would
it...
be in the lower level along the side, either behind the benches or penalty boxes on row 18. So
if
about like
some...
about like good flyers.
So apparently,
seats
if you're a hockey fan and want to see playoff hockey, why haven't you bought Phantoms tickets? Because that's not expensive.
Well, Lehigh Valley is a little bit of a bitch to get to on a Friday if you're working.
So we gotta leave early.
Yeah, you make a day
unless
trip
you already
out of it.
Work out there.
We leave early. Yeah. We go to like a TGI Fridays. get some unlimited apps.
A TGI Fridays in Lehigh Valley? Dude, yeah. Something's cooking. That's your brain right there, my friend. Now we're on to something.
God, no.
Wait, you don't want to go to TGI Fridays and get all these apps?
No.
Yeah. We each get a different app. You're not supposed to share. We're just doing the waiter.
Let's go to Applebee's just because they have half off apps.
Dude, they have grilled zucchini there. They also have chicken fingers. What they have?
Applebee's has car side to go. So if we don't want to sit in.
Wait. We're getting paid by these companies to talk about their company? Fuck them. That's back to what we want to talk about.
I wish.
We're all up here for the juice, the squeeze, the money. I'm here for the clams, see? I'm not here for the, like, clams, giving up the free advertisements. Clams.
All right.
Anyway, so I want to bring up real quick before we get into other things. Flyer season as a whole, as Jeff, you told us last week, you were more right than me, which is a rarity in its own self. So for that,
it's rare.
I think it's pretty rare.
I'm the most accurate.
It's like my steak's pretty fucking rare, maybe. All right. So the Flyers this year, if I may pull up my little cheat sheet here, they did not do as well as I thought they were going to do. They did about what you said they were going to do.
They didn't do as well as everybody on Twitter expected them to do.
Well, yeah, that goes without saying. But I know we said this last, but just to rehash it, though, they went 39, 33, and 10 for a good 88 points. Jeff had said they were going to be 35 wins with 87 points. So they got a couple more wins, but a lot of overtime losses. I said 42 wins, 100 points. So, I mean, we were about the same distance away, just a little lower, and your points were closer. Also, we didn't talk about this, too, the NHL simulations. Remember that we did this?
Yes, of course.
Did we do that this year?
We did.
We did it, and then they updated something. So here's it again.
Yeah, so we don't.
They put Provorov in.
Provorov and
didn't that NHL simulation have them, like...
Hold on.
Roy Lowe.
I remember this.
The first one was really low, right? No, the second one had them, like, President's Trophy.
Yeah, so the first one... Lower ranks for Provorov and Konechny. They were 40, 33, and 9 for 89 points. Closer to what they actually had this year. No playoffs. Tampa Bay won the cup. With Provi and TK, they went 53, 22, and 7. 113 points. Top in the league. They lose to the Blue Jackets in the first round.
Oh, no.
The Blue Jackets go all the way to lose to the Red Wings in the finals.
Never mind.
Then the Red Wings beat. Red Wings lose to the Hawks in the final. The Hawks win the cup. That's what the second simulation said. So, tale of two simulations, if I may quote the great Dickens.
The Provorov and Konechny made that much of a difference.
Apparently.
In the simulation. 13 more wins, right? Was it 40 to 53?
Not in real life. They must have updated somebody else's stats, too.
Dude, you know what? It figures that, like, the Flyers...
Did you ever create a player on there?
No.
Oh, damn.
The Flyers get a career high in shootout wins. Meaningless.
Oh, yeah, this year?
Absolutely meaningless.
You mean franchise high?
Yeah, whatever. And a season high, because I don't think they've ever won that many shootouts ever.
Well, we got better at something without using Zverev, so that's pretty good.
That's true.
But we got to the going.
But the only reason they won all those shootouts, not a free agent.
Who's a free agent?
Stevesy.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think about like a new free agent. I'm like, what?
Well, the good news is that we won't have to wonder long if Las Vegas is going to take Neuwirth in the expansion draft.
But maybe Neuwirth has wanderlust.
Because they're going to cram it into the award ceremony now.
Cram in your cram hole.
When's that?
June 20th, June 26th, maybe.
Yeah, shout out to Leonard for tweeting that.
Yeah.
So I was looking at that. Like last year, were the awards even on the NHL Network? Like I don't even remember.
Yeah, they are, but no one watches them. So they're trying to get ratings. They're milking the ratings money, Chief.
Also, like, what are they? Are they going to be like? And now the Maurice Richard Trophy goes to Connor McDavid.
June 21st.
The Hart Award. Up after the expansion draft.
The hard work goes to Wayne Simmons because he's the only one on this team with heart. Oh, for the whole NHL? Wayne Simmons.
So it's like 11:30 at night and they're getting to the second award because they went through the whole expansion draft.
No, they'll do it in between. So they'll give the award to McDavid and be like, all right, up on the board here we have Las Vegas picking...
First pick.
Matt Reed. From
Survey says, do we have Matt Reed?
No. Las Vegas picks four players from the Flyers. She's like, yes! Yes! Twitter was right!
Yeah, actually...
It would never happen.
I went to a local bar the other night, and I gave out some BSB cards, and some guy was talking about expansion draft, like, freaking out about, like, dude, like, what are we going to do? Like, he had this Flyers... He had a Gagne jersey signed by a bunch of players. And, like,
did he tell you that Claude Giroux should get picked up in the expansion draft?
I don't think a lot of the people realize the stipulations involved, where, like, our best players can't be taken.
Yeah, he's worried about the forwards thing.
Oh, why? A lot of people were really angry about that.
Because we have to...
Where's the spot of Filppula? I can't believe you!
Because we have to use Filppula because he's no movement clause.
Right.
Everyone's freaking out.
But
now,
who else are you going to protect?
Who else is worth protecting? Matt Reed? Scott Laughton?
I think he was worried, like,
I don't wanna,
I think
like,
he's worried about losing Wheel.
Well, they're going to re-sign
you
Wheel.
You have to re-sign Wheel first.
And then they have one spot left.
Yeah, if you go, was it eight skaters total?
Yeah, I think so. Something like that.
So then you save another forward, and then you don't protect Brandon Manning.
Yeah.
They have, like, one spot
I'm
left.
Saying, I was trying to explain this to him, but there's drinks involved.
Yeah, you're
like,
not going to be able to get, yeah. that, like, you're going to change his mind.
Very nice guy, though. Maybe he listens to the show, though. He was wearing a nice bucket hat. Was a very lovely guy. Very,
who are the defensemen that they're protecting?
Because
Ghost and Provorov don't count, right?
I think Ghost is eligible. Or no, is he not?
He has to play two full seasons, I believe.
So he's not eligible.
So Gudas?
Gudas? MacDo. Well, no, they'll probably... Does he have a no movement clause? If he has no movement clause, then
Cross?
No.
I don't think so.
Gudas? Manning?
Ugh, you're not going to protect Manning.
Well, they'll probably want to. And,
They have to expose at least two forwards and one defenseman that have played at least 40 games in the 2016-2017 season or more than 70 games in the 2015.
I want to say Ghost was in everyone's
It must still be in contract. Okay.
I don't know if...
So actually, Ghost could be exposed. They have to protect him.
So yeah. Ghost and Gudas.
The rules
Ghost
have changed Gudas. Since the last time we went over them. Beginning of the season, I think.
I don't
They've
know if
clarified,
they. I don't know
say.
If they changed, but they clarified.
They clarified them. Things, yes.
Because like we learned that Delzato counts as the Flyers' pick if Vegas takes him.
Also, Filppula needs to be protected because no movement clause. We didn't know that before. So,
Which means, sorry guys, Giroux's automatically protected.
Oh, darn. You know, we could have got like Carey Letnin.
Because he has some sort of movement, right? I think he has some sort of movement clause.
Bowel movement clause?
Yeah, BMs.
Okay, cool.
The BM clause.
Actually, speaking of goalies, I have a clip from our season preview.
Oh, boy.
I want to play. This is what we were talking about, the expansion draft.
Ilya Brizgalov?
This is going to be sick.
No, this is Jeff and I talking with Dr. Mike because you were not there. You had anal fissure surgery.
Why you have to be mad?
So this is our show back in the day before the season started. We have it. That's our opening night roster. And I imagine Steve Mason will get most of the starts starting out.
Probably.
And they'll put Neuwirth in there. It's going to be a goalie battle, but I think we're in a good spot. Like we said in the summer, you play both these guys, you let them figure it out, and then whoever you want to go with at the end of the season, you go with another one walk. Or the
you bribe
draft.
One of them with a high-priced contract.
Yes, and then you get the expansion draft, take one of them, hopefully, or whatever. I just cannot wait till this time next year so we can look at the roster without all this cap weight weighing us down.
Yeah, your only cap weights next year will be Matt Reed.
And Andrew McDonald.
And Andrew McDonald.
It's a little clip right there for you.
The best part is Hextall specifically said he doesn't want to bribe anybody with a high-priced contract. We stink. Or I stink.
Oh, well, that's why I played it. But
shoot.
No, but we kind of called it right a little bit, though, talking about like the goalie situation there. There really wasn't much for us to go on.
Yeah, it's really disappointing, too, that neither of the goalies played as well as they did.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter because you're going to sign Ben Bishop in the offseason.
That's true. That makes sense.
People are not liking that idea.
No, people are so angry.
Doyle's been behind
ben
this
Bishop.
For months. He's been campaigning hard in the grassroots level, getting the word out,
but
selling bumper stickers.
Yeah.
But
Ben
like,
Bishop or bust.
The
triple
same thing
Bs.
With Steve Mason. Like, if I'm Ben Bishop, why would you take a 2-year deal if you could get a starter's job somewhere, like for a long term?
Yeah.
I don't understand why everybody just. People just think things are gonna. Oh, Andy McDonald's totally gonna be.
People
like,
love to play here. Yeah, they love to play here if the time and money's right.
Yeah,
they don't see.
No, teams will totally take Andy McDonald. Don't even worry about it. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Exactly.
Everybody wants a $5 million.
Everybody wants to stash that contract in the AHL.
Yeah. Oh no, the Flyers are never gonna. Vandeveld is a good trade with like 7 first round picks. Don't worry. Everybody wants him. He's a high demand, a solid penalty killer. We're great.
Everybody wants you. How many songs can I fit into this?
But it's just like, what? If you're Ben Bishop, why would you want to play another 2 years and then have to find another team? Like, I would want money in security.
Maybe because they're too worried about him crapping his pants while he's in the goal.
Well, probably. That's a real legitimate concern because, fool me once.
Speaking of the Hershey Bears.
Crones are probably flaring up.
Gosh. He's just waving to the back. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Pull me.
Call timeout.
All right, so
he's like the kid in.
If I call a timeout, I lose my challenge, though.
He's like the kid in the Little Giants skating around the ref. Blow the whistle. Blow the whistle.
All right, so Flyers. Let's look at the team now, guys. Let's give a little post mortem on this whole thing of the season we have.
Stinks, and I don't like them.
That is totally
big
accurate.
Post-mortem.
I'm going to start this with another mini clip of this was us talking about the Flyers. Whether or not they would make the playoffs or not. And this is what we said back in the day just to prove that we did not flip-flop on this issue at least. CNN, I'm sorry. Dave Isaac, I'm sorry. Sam Carcitti. Any of you fucks. We have jokes. A lot. That's the second season entering, covering the Flyers, so I'm pretty excited about it. Obviously, the Eagles
Smeagles.
Have been a lot of people excited around here, but I think the Flyers will fly under the radar at first, and then
oh,
no pun
I see
intended,
what you did there.
And then I think
damn it.
If they want to play well, end of year last year, everyone was kind of jumping on like, oh, shit. Pause real quick to let you know that was Mike.
Dr. Mike
saying, God damn it. Because he hates Jeff. Like
he hates Drew's puns.
And
he
that wasn't even a pun. That was just me
fly
but
under
he let
the radar.
Jeff, he let Jeff get away with calling the Eagles the Smeagles.
Yeah, well, that's hilarious.
I didn't want to ruin my thought.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the clip. Flyers might do something, and then they didn't really do anything. But they still overachieved, and that was great to see. I'd like to see them make the first round of the playoffs again, at least. But if they don't, I don't think it's going to make anyone like question Hextall's job or what he's doing or Hextall. Remember, we're in for the long game now, guys. How wrong I was.
Oh, yeah, we stink.
How many people did... how many people are questioning Hextall right
You know what?
Hextall the right entire
There
internet.
Was this whole rebuild and, like, retool thing has been going with most of the major Philly teams, so I was like, know what?
Yeah, but you made the playoffs.
This is the time.
So that, the rebuild's like, over.
Yeah, apparently.
Obviously. Obviously, they're a perennial Stanley Cup playoff team.
Yeah. So I just wanted to point it out to show, like, Hextall, like... Where have we wronged you?
Yeah.
Obviously.
Not where have we wronged him? It's where he's wronged us by playing all the worst players possible.
All the worst players possible.
Yeah. And putting Travis on the fourth line and benching Ghost and then benching Travis.
Okay. He benched young players.
And then only playing Provorov.
He benched young
with
players.
McDonald,
yes. I didn't
and only
agree
playing
with...
McDonald and putting Claude Giroux in important situations because he's soft and
Jeff,
terrible.
Sure, we talked about this. Jeff, look at me. Breathe. It's going to be okay. It's almost May. The Flyers aren't playing anymore. You don't have bad dreams for months.
I hate him. Nah, he gets an unfair shave.
Remember that soap shaving I gave you of him? You could still,
like,
stab that at night.
You know how excited we were that they made the playoffs last year? I kind of wish that they didn't now, so everybody didn't expect so goddamn much this year.
Yeah,
well,
but we had such a great time last year.
I feel like we said that was going to happen.
Yeah,
we did.
At the beginning of the year,
that clip right there was a part of that. We built on that idea over the next
but
few
now,
weeks saying, hey, it's good they got off to a good start, but you know, it's just remember, and during the 10-game win streak, we said that too.
Dude, and everybody's guilty of it. Like, everybody,
and I'm just too lazy to go back and look through it today. I was a little busy.
Everybody all over, like, they just all
we'll
expected this team
point.
To make the playoffs again.
We have a lot of summer
like a
to cover.
Foregone conclusion. And it's
it's hard. Everyone's like, well, it's NHL, anyone can make the playoffs, like, which, by the way, is a shitty argument because no one ever says that about the NBA.
No.
I've said this before
if
on the show.
Make the playoffs,
because
the
NBA has shitty teams
that
make the playoffs
the NBA
every year, at least on one conference.
Yeah, but the NHL, everyone's always like, well, hockey, everyone makes the playoffs, right? People don't watch hockey say that. And I was like, no more than making the NBA. They're like, yeah, but I'm like, no.
No,
there's
the
way
NBA,
more parity in the NHL. It's actually harder to get in the playoffs if you have a shitty team.
Well, the NBA is one conference. It's conference heavy, which is the Western Conference, which is where all the good teams are. And then the Eastern Conference, you have the Cavs and one other team.
Aren't there losing
like,
records making the playoffs in the NBA every year?
Yeah, the Sixers.
There's never a losing. I don't think there's
when the Sixers played the Heat in the first round in 2011,
they were
a 500 team.
Yeah. They're still Andre Iguodala, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I hate that argument, but it doesn't matter. Like, it's still hard to make it.
Well, this year especially.
Especially with the youth taking over the game. There's a lot of teams that have had young players in the shoots for a couple of years that are finally, like, starting to... Like, look at Toronto. Toronto's making the playoffs. Yeah. Edmonton's making the playoffs, and we're not. That's different. That's something we're not used to seeing.
Well, that's because Hextall refuses to play young players.
That's because we didn't...
We're running circles here, Jimmy.
It's because we didn't tank hard enough to get the first draft
talent.
Pick.
Yeah. Really helps when you have a... Your 1C is generational talent.
I really can't stand the argument of the Flyers just need to tank for 5 years. Look at what the Oilers and Toronto did. It's like, yeah, the fucking Oilers had what, like 7 first round draft picks that they blew on the same player.
And yeah, basically. And then what happened? Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
Oh wow,
they got lucky.
Who would've thought, like one player turned around the whole franchise. Were they supposed to win the draft lottery that year too, or were they?
I don't think so.
I don't even think they were like the worst team, so that really sucks. That's like the Flyers getting caned.
Yeah. You're referring to us losing Patrick Kane, the worst franchise ever, because they got the lottery and beat us for the first overall pick.
JVR.
We got JVR, which we later traded for Luke Shen.
Luke Shen.
We later traded for a bag of pucks along with Vinny LeCavalier.
Yeah, no, for Wheel. Jordan Wheel.
Oh, yeah, Jordan Wheel.
Yeah,
right.
Come on.
At the time, it was Jordan Wheel.
Wheel for JVR seems like a fair trade at this point. JVR has only played every game for the Leafs this season.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
But I want to go back to
top three scorers,
and Wheel could barely crack the AHL lineup. Because,
I wanted to go back to Hextall.
Hextall is not a great coach or not a great player.
So Hextall, what are your thoughts on him?
Hextall,
the coach from Mr. Never Smiles. I saw him smile once this season, and it kind of was off-putting and it kind of creeped me out.
He kind of looks a little bit like Mike Babcock?
He catches a lot of criticism, and I don't know if it's necessarily deserved. Because I feel like people just want the things they want to happen. And like when Hackstall's like, you know, Ghost needs to be sad. Like he's stinking right now and he has an ego problem and we need to put him in his place. Everybody was like, you just like put my family in work camps because
Dude,
that was the worst thing you could do.
I was upset about it, but when you look back at it, Ghost was the worst plus-minus rating on the team. He hadn't scored a goal since November.
Yeah, like, but what he did last year.
What you put him on the ice for that he's supposed to be good at, he wasn't good at. So
he's
got to
reset the batteries and take a step
back. So what are you supposed to do with him? Just
and
let
maybe
him
maybe he
hang
got a bit complacent and was like, oh, my spot's safe.
Well, apparently
there was
some shit talking about like his just like attitude was a little different this year. He was a little more cocky.
Yeah.
Which is like
which
fine.
Which isn't a bad thing.
You want a little swagger in an offensive player like that. You want to have a little braggadocio about it. But you can't like, I said that word on the podcast, go away with it. You can't just like rely on that though. And there was, I mean, I'm not saying it's true, but there was swirl. Usually when there's smoke, there's fire. There's probably a little bit of that.
Yeah.
And the way he was carrying himself, he wasn't like coming like last year when he was like kind of a rookie, really humbled. He was kind of like, I'm on the team now. I'm one of the cool guys.
Yeah. And like TK started hot and then he tapered off. Didn't really do much. Like, yes, he has like an offensive upside, but he wasn't producing.
People like him because he's the first fast flyer we've had since Simone Gagné.
Right. So like Hackstall.
And I will stand by that statement.
Like he came from juniors, had no AHL experience, didn't get a chance to work on the finer points of his game. Like he dominated juniors so much so that like the trade.
He's
that
also undersized. He needs to keep putting on muscle.
So like Hackstall sat him to be like, listen, kid, like this isn't juniors. Fucking relax.
That's why like when people say like we're getting upset that he got benched against the Devils, and Hackstall literally said, look, it's game 80, and we're still having to go over the same things with him.
Yeah.
It's like you got to be ready to play, man.
It's not always the bad. It's not always the bad penalties. It's not always stuff he's doing on purpose. It's just like he needs to learn, to play away from the puck and in his own zone. And in the offensive zone, he's great at throwing the body around and creating scoring chances because he's quick and
he's
aggressive on the puck.
Yeah,
he's got good hand-eye coordination. He's got a good shot, and he creates offense by using his legs. That's why fans love it because we don't have many players like that.
Flans.
Yeah, I started saying flans. We don't have many
Spanish dessert.
We don't have. That's actually flan. We don't have. I guess I'll stand by it. We haven't had a player like that since Simone Gagné. The quickness.
No, yeah.
Dvorak
drafts
and
were not
Simmons
very...
are pretty quick, but they're not like on that level of quick. They don't have the game breaking speed.
Yeah, Konechny, the Flyers drafts.
Konechny
are
looks like
Scott
he, if he's it's one on one versus a puck. He can beat a guy to an open puck and go on a breakaway with it.
And
at
then
times.
Like, so everybody complained that they wouldn't play like the prospects or Hackstall wouldn't put in the young guys, but like that's as much as Hextall's fault as Hackstall's fault.
That's also not to say that Hackstall was not worth any criticism, but he's also a second-year NHL
coach.
Some
of his moves were definitely questionable.
Like the whole Vandevelde starting him every game thing, I understood it for the most part, but towards the end, I'm like, no, it's got enough.
It does.
It's already passed the point of no return.
And like why there was so much reliance on a penalty kill that wasn't good.
Well, that's also going to be his assistants, but they kept Lappy as your PK coach.
And
they got rid of Joe Mullen, though.
So
did we cover that last week or was that after the show?
I think it was after the show.
Okay, Joe Mullen, the power play coach, is now gone,
which
is good.
Why keep Lappy over Joe Mullen?
Well, my guess is, so the power play had, both units had enough talent on it to be better and more consistent than it was. So it should have been better than it was. The penalty kill, I mean, unless you
outside
just completely
Simmons.
Get rid of Belmar and Vandevelde entirely. I mean, like, you're just polishing a turd, kind of. So
yeah,
like,
I could agree with that. I mean, also Lappy, he's what is it? The he's like a conditioning coach or something like that too on the team.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
He's some sort of like player, like toughness or conditioning or something like that.
But
he
like,
works with. I forget his other title.
Like, what ways, short of like putting Giroux back in the penalty killing slot? Like, what ways were you gonna make realistically? Were you gonna make it better with what he was given?
They should have stopped playing Vandevelde and Belmar together.
Yeah, but I feel like that's also that's not on Lappy entirely. I feel like Hackstall has a say in who penalty kills.
Well, you had Simmons and Couturier.
Right, and they were an awesome penalty killing unit, but how many times did like Simmons and Couturier kill a minute and a half and then Belmar and Vandevelde get on and then Vandevelde turns it over and their team scores?
That's what I'm saying. That's why you got to split them up at the very
or
least.
Don't let them play ever because I hate Vandevelde with the white hot intensity of 1,000 suns.
Wise words from a wise man.
Thank you.
But
Well, now you have at least this year, I'm hoping that Vecchione at least replaces Vandevelde.
Well, yeah, ideally. Or do you think he's going to start on the Phantoms and they're going to make him earn it?
Depends on how he shows up at camp, I guess.
Because, like, he can go to the Phantoms. The big problem with TK and Provorov last year were that they couldn't go to the Phantoms. So Hextall has that option with Vecchione, and he's still preaching patience. Like, he doesn't even want to bring up Sanheim.
Well, they said Sanheim's not as ready.
Yeah, they're saying your best bets for next year are Morin and Haig.
Yeah.
I don't sleep on Sanheim, though.
But I think Sanheim has a better offensive upside than both of those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just like...
Well, wait, no, these defensemen got to score 30 goals each every year.
Is it going to be a ghost where, like, you call him up and he burns it up? Or is it going to be, like, or ghost last year?
Where he's like, boo!
Or is it going to be, like, ghost this year where he needs to be benched and taught a lesson?
I don't know. But anyway, so Joe Walker wrote an article about Hextall and whether or not he's like maybe time to think about getting rid of him a couple months ago. And we got a comment that I just addressed recently on a sent to our show an email. This is from Mark Schuttenhelm. He's from he actually writes for the Jamestown Sun in North Dakota. Here's what he had to say to us. BSB, I read your piece on Heck. Good stuff. But you will find, just as I did here in North Dakota, he's a North Dakota hockey fan, Hextall's stern appearance, his arrogance, the famous Hextall stare, have bullshitted lots of people into thinking this guy is perhaps more competent than he really is. Whenever I wrote something that was totally complimentary about him, I point out three things. One, he was unable to win a national title in 11 years at UND despite having the most talented team a number of times. Two, the year after he leaves UND, he wins a national championship. And three, his record at Philly is almost identical to Berube's, even though he has more talent to work with. Will Hack be thrown under the bus like Berube? I doubt it.
Apparently, Twitter has also read this article because that's what they were saying.
Yeah, but I mean, he has more talent to work with than Berube, marginally.
I wouldn't say
it's a huge stepping stone.
It's two rookies. That's really all.
You have two
that
rookies, and one rookie is just a freak of nature because he became your number one defenseman after never playing any NHL games.
And also Ghost, who had a pretty good year last year, but other than that.
There's one quote in here which is interesting, and I want to see how this plays out next year. He writes, Hextall's dismissal of associate head coach Carey Eads 3 years ago is inexplicable. Eads has been a winner everywhere he's coached and was immediately hired by the Sioux Falls Stampede of the USHL. He turned that program around in 1 year and won a championship in three. So Flyers just fired an assistant coach.
Okay.
I wonder if the person they bring in is going to be any different or if it's going to be some more of the same. Because I feel like Hextall's probably not an easy guy to deal with. Because after coaching in college for so long, like, it's your way or the highway, and I feel like you have a lot of egos at the NHL level.
He's your limp biscuit.
Yeah. Got him. Chocolate starfish.
Did he mean sycophant?
Maybe.
Because he put psychopant. Psychopants, I think.
But,
psychopants, sorry.
He was also saying...
It would bother me. What, where was that?
He also said that Hextall had a nice relationship with all the media because he was, like, the head coach of the hockey team, and that's all they had. And, like, Philly's not going to hold back on him, which they didn't. And every time that Philly really unloaded on him, he got flustered and tried to change the subject.
Okay. It was one time, and it wasn't the Philly media.
It was Flyer season ticket holder.
It was the Flyer season ticket holder, and then again at locker cleanout day.
Yeah. I don't know. He wrote this article, though, for it. And, I mean, he talked about his legacy there. And, like, yeah, he had a 289, 143, and 43 in the 11 trips to the NCAA tournament, 7 Frozen Fours. He had all these young players play for him.
Well, we said the same thing.
All the players you have are good leaders. Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't know where you compare. It's like Chip Kelly to NFL. You know, I mean, that's a little different.
We said the same thing earlier in the season. Like, the one difference from NHL to college is that he handpicked who he wanted in college. And, like, in the NHL, you don't really get to handpick anybody. You're just given. Like, he walked into a situation where he was given.
The talent is not on you. It's on your GM.
Yeah.
So, like, I understand that, but could he have made different decisions this year? Yes, don't play Vandevelde for
81
games.
But he's also, it's a second year of coaching, and also not even most veteran coaches make boneheaded mistakes.
Yeah.
Made a boneheaded mistake.
Trotz.
Yeah.
Laviolette with the goalie carousel a couple years back, killing Bobrovsky's confidence, totally shook him up while he was here. Like, Laviolette's a good coach. He's won a cup.
Bobrovsky's still shook. I don't know if you've seen or not.
Oh, yeah, well... Yeah.
But no, when you watch the playoffs this year, and if you check Twitter under the Stanley Cup hashtag, everybody's tweeting about everything. Like, the Caps fans are angry because Trotz is only playing Ovechkin for 15 minutes a night. And, like, this team's angry because they're choosing to play these players. And why is Zach Cashin in the lineup for the Oilers? Because he's, like, a waste of
talent.
Their
grass is always greener. Everyone always thinks, yeah, like, these players. Oh,
like,
well, it's good
Flyers
to have
fans
that.
Think they have it so bad. Everybody hates the moves.
Unless you're like the Blackhawks or the Kings, and you've
and
won
even
a
the
couple
Blackhawks
cups
right now,
or the
can't win shit.
Blackhawks about to get swept.
Yeah.
Apparently, the Leafs just scored here on the power play, and I think it was JVR too. Look at this.
So, like, yeah, every team is disappointed, but like, there's changes that can be made with the Flyers that can fix mistakes
that do not
have
to be the head coach
be
being
same,
fired.
Yeah, which may not be the same for other teams. Like, you can just stop playing Vanderbilt and maybe give less time to Belmar.
He probably will not be back,
Giroux.
Though.
Yeah.
Whoa. Hey, asshole.
But, like, there's changes that can be made. Like, the Flyers fans are already jumping ship on Hackstall, and it's like, you gave him a very small sample size.
But are you really surprised, though?
No, not at all.
Yeah. Because there's no...
Because Flyers meet, or Flyers
there is
writers
no,
are just stoking the
there's
fire.
No pleasing a Flyers fan. Let's be serious.
I think
here
we
for
just
a second.
We thought we hoped for better.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But there's just people that aren't rational thinkers, and it's insane.
Yeah.
Or the people who are just like, oh, I read this article and they were amused with trading Giroux, and this is my new platform. Like, what?
Speaking of Giroux, what do we do about forwards? So let's look at the forwards that we have coming up. So we have not that many. Yeah, so but I mean, like, who's cutting off the books? Who's not coming back?
You have
who is coming back? Who's probably coming back? And protections and all that stuff. And I really have to tinkle, so excuse me while you guys talk.
Oh my God, this guy. At least he's not taking a shit.
Yeah. God.
I think the biggest one they have
in here in a cup if you want.
They haven't announced it yet, but Vandevelde probably not going to resign.
I hope not.
But
I think everyone hopes not.
Well, they literally, like, they came out and said, like, Delzato and Schultz were told they're not coming back.
Yeah.
But there's been nothing about Vandevelde, which leads me to believe that Hextall and Hextall are just trying to find a pen with ink so Vandevelde can sign for 7 more years at the league minimum.
But did anybody interview him?
No.
Yeah, so.
But wouldn't you want to ask a guy who played or would have played every game barring the last game of the season that was meaningless and Hextall scratched him?
Yeah.
To play Vecchione?
I mean, it makes sense, but I feel like no one, especially Bill Meltzer was going off on Twitter, like, tweeting everybody's interviews. But he, that was one player he didn't.
Yeah. So I wonder if I wonder if anybody ever asked him or his interview just wasn't interesting because he was like, yeah, you know, just why don't you hit me up when I sign that contract?
Yeah, well, everybody hopes he's gone. I mean, you obviously have Pebbles running the fourth line.
Right.
And
Vecchione would take over.
Yeah, you push him out to the wing. You put Vecchione in center. You have, who could you call up? You call up, is Lindblom playing third or fourth line?
I think they want to. Everybody on Twitter, and take that with the absolute truth because they're probably right, has Twitter on the third line.
Third line.
Or has a, has Lindblom on the third line.
Yeah, I know
line.
What you're saying.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it makes sense. Apparently Lindblom's tearing up whatever Swedish league he's in or Finnish league or.
He's like been single-handedly putting the team on his back.
Yeah,
dude.
And he's apparently, he's also in talks to go to the Phantoms for the playoff run too.
Yeah.
They're trying to get
and
him to
come. And they're saying
over.
That. I mean, obviously, Hextall keeps saying we have to see how everybody is in camp next year, but people think that Lindblom will be outright on the team.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. He tore up. The only way they would keep him in the Phantoms, I guess, is if they want him to develop, which is what they did for Wheel, and everybody was angry about that, so who knows.
But see, do you have enough space for him? Because
you can. Well, you figure you're going to get rid of Vandevelde.
That leaves one spot.
Cousins will probably, I don't know, if they re-sign him, like, not for a lot of money.
Yeah.
Probably a two-way deal.
But you
and
still
then,
have, you're, you still have, you have Reed, you still have Raffle, you still have Weiss.
Right, but then you got to think, like, okay, so the expansion draft.
Did you guys touch
draft,
on Lubimov yet?
No, he's no, probably
we already
he's
think
gone.
He's gone.
Yeah.
You touch on, you figure out the expansion draft shakes out, and then once the expansion draft shakes out, teams are either going to start making trades, or they will have already made all their trades to protect themselves in the expansion draft. So, yeah. Like,
June, whenever the awards are.
21st.
June 21st is going, I feel like it's going to be the linchpin for either shit's going to happen before it in en masse or things going to happen after it en masse once teams figure out where they're at.
So even if the Flyers are guaranteed to lose, let's say they lose one
every
forward.
Every team has to lose at least one player.
Yeah, so even if they lose one player, that opens up one more spot.
Right. It's reasonable to think that they're going to lose a forward because the defense they're going to expose aren't really that interesting.
Yeah,
so is
Andrew
Matt
McDonald.
Reed the guy to go?
I think it's either going to be
Michael
Reed
Raffel.
Or Raffel.
I would be down with either of those guys.
They could probably put Dale Weiss in
honestly,
there, too.
But
preferably,
people are very upset that Michael Raffel would be exposed for some reason.
Preferably, I'd rather take Raffel than Reed, honestly.
Raffel powers up and scores goals sometimes, but then a lot of the other times, he doesn't do diddly shit.
Yeah, he doesn't.
So, it's not worth the money he makes.
If I'm taking the two of lesser evils, I would rather have Michael Raffel. Just because you can plug and play him anywhere.
But so you can do it. I think you say the same for Reed, though. Reed also adds
Reed's
a way better two-way game. Reed's a great two-way
game. He started
player.
The season.
I know
offense.
I've talked shit on
Reed,
him in the past, but
Reed went, what, how long without a goal?
Hey, beginning of the season, he had a bunch of goals.
He did. Yeah, how did that shake out for the rest of the year?
He broke his shoulder and didn't play the last 20 games or whatever, right?
It was like three or four.
He's a good two-way player. I'm just saying, I think I'd rather have him penalty killing or whatever. He should get a penalty kill look again instead of having Van Velde and Belmar.
The problem is, Flyers fans have this warped perception of what's going to happen at the expansion draft. Realistically, you're going to be stuck with most of the contracts we're stuck with.
Yeah, they're not going to let's like the Flyers and take what the fans want. Yeah. No, they're going to do what's best for their franchise. They're starting a whole new team.
So, I mean, the odds are it's going to be a forward. I would see Raffel getting picked over Weiss or Reed because of its length on the contract and its price of contract. He's locked up for a longer time for less money.
Who, Raffel?
Yeah.
I think he's only up for two more years.
So, if you're trying to build a team and you
Reed
don't...
Reed has, what, one more year?
This is his last year.
So, if you're trying to build a team and you don't want everything to implode at once, you're going to try to... Along with picking cap hits, you also have to space out contracts, which is George McPhee probably has the worst job in the world right now because he's sitting there and he's I could have, this third-line player or I could have this third-line player. And you're you have to look at, salary cap numbers and years left.
And teams have to bring their list in by June 17th. He has 4 days. I mean, he'll have ideas. He's going to have some feelers out there. But, they have, he has, 3.5 days to pick.
Because, he also has to be – not only – he has to be under the salary cap, but he also has to be over a certain number. He can't just pick all
– I think he has to have
floor,
a certain amount of his floor by
– Yeah, he can't just pick all scrubs.
He has to have a certain amount of the floor by, I think, the free agency.
So, then you got to figure out, where are you going to dump money? Because, a lot of the big money guys, you can get, a Dustin Brown will probably be exposed. I don't even know. Does he have a no movement clause with the Kings? Because if he does, then he can't even be exposed.
I'm pretty sure he does.
So, George McPhee has to, look and figure out, you're not going to get any team's top players. So you have to build an entire team with, middle-of-the-pack guys, but also middle-of-the-pack guys who some of them have big salary cap hits.
Dustin Brown's limited no trade clause to seven teams.
It's not an enviable it's going to suck. Las Vegas might be good, but you're not going to get no one's going to pull Tavares in the expansion draft.
All right. Well,
but they get to draft. And I don't know if they can trade their picks. I think they can, right?
They probably can. They can probably do a bunch of shit.
They can trade their picks.
All I know is it's so forwards. What do we think about I'm going to bring up this last clip I'm going to play from our show back then. We addressed the thing of our second line center. I want to address a couple. I wanted to talk about a couple of the players we have now and what we think about them for next year, and we can rank their offense.
Mr. Secondary Assist himself.
He played center and juniors.
They need to get some big centers and take all this pressure off Soft Giroux.
All right, you'll let Bartnick invade your mind a little too much. He didn't say he was soft. He just said he was mostly a power play player.
Yeah.
A power play player.
Soft.
Anybody want a peanut?
No, they do need a second center, though. Someone who can score, not a Terrier.
Most definitely. So we talked about getting a second line center. We got that in Filppula. Thoughts
still
on
still recycling
this year?
That Andre the Giant joke.
Not the
that's
big,
from that's from months ago, all right? Doesn't matter.
Not the big body.
Don't get mad at me. We do it all the time.
No, I'm just saying. It's funny.
Not the big body we were expecting.
Still a good
center,
though.
But he does a serviceable job, and I feel like a lot of the credit for Couturier's turnaround wasn't given to Filppula.
But on this show it has. I think we all gave it to him.
Which, 3 months from now, all the beat writers will be like, Couturier's turnaround credited to Valtteri Filppula. And I'm like,
God damn it.
Oh. Shoot.
No, they'll still be writing articles about how Valtteri Filppula's contract hit doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Or the Trey Giroux thing, which, you know, other people started that wasn't me.
I can't can't believe you take on a $5 million a year contract for one more year.
Yeah.
When you
someone who's trying to relieve cap, they're really not doing a great job by taking on a year contract.
On a $10 million a year contract. If you have the room for it for one year, yeah. If it makes your team better, you do it.
Yeah. That's like me, like, oh, the Blackhawks are going to trade Jonathan Toews. He has 1 year left in his $10 million deal. Do you want it? And Flyers are like, nah.
There's two reasons to sign. There's two reasons to have veterans with high cap hits in the NHL. One is because they're really good and they're there to boost your team and make a playoff run. Or two, they're there to buy time for your team, make them competitive until young guys can move up and fill those spots.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing, the second of which.
Plus, like, I could see if
the, or if we made the playoffs, it could have helped us in the playoffs. We didn't make it. So,
I could see if the Flyers were the Penguins and they have to figure out who out of the forwards they're going to protect. Because you figure they have everybody with no movement clauses. The Penguins have a bunch of offensive talent with, like, three spots.
Yeah.
So, like, do you want to be in that situation? Or do you want to be the Flyers where you're like, we can take Filppula because we have, like, none of our forwards we want to save. So just
yeah,
take
just,
them all.
Yeah.
Take them all.
We'll be fine.
Yeah.
But how great are the Penguins forwards? Or are they only great because they're a product of their environment?
I feel like not all of them can be products of their environment. Between like Rust and Sheary and Guntswell and Kunockle, like they can't all be, oh my God, their line mates are so good. They have to be decent.
Yeah, it'd be like kind of the Andrew Ladd thing. Like he played on the Blackhawks and actually wound up being an okay player and going jumping around the league a little bit.
So. You know. I'd rather be where the Flyers are than where the Penguins are. Trying, you're going to lose somebody
absolutely.
You like.
If anything, I think the draft will help us.
Yeah, it's only going to take away a contract.
Yeah, it's one that either we don't want or don't really need that much.
So you figure, like, if they don't sign Vandevelde, hopefully, Vecchione takes that spot. The expansion draft takes another spot where, like, you either fit Wheel into the lineup all the time or you re-sign Cousins for, like, a fill-in role. Or you go to the Phantoms and say, Andre Aube Kubel,
Nicholas.
Whoever it is, Nicholas.
Yeah, Nicholas Aube.
Or like Fazliev or somebody and be like, hey, you get to try to play in the NHL.
I forgot about.
Come on, buddy.
Kubel.
Yeah.
How's he been playing?
I think they've all been, I mean, the Phantoms are doing.
Who's the tiny
good.
Guy we have that's in the juniors? Pascal LaBerge?
Yeah.
He got hurt, didn't he?
Well, there's LaBerge.
He's not that small. I mean, he's 6 foot, but he's.
There's LaBerge. There's
a weensy guy, isn't he?
There's Wade Allison.
Wade Allison.
But I think they're
he's
farther.
Supposed to be a fighter,
yeah,
right?
I think they're farther away.
Like a fighter,
power forward.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, okay. I don't know. So forwards. Just, let's wrap the forward segment here. We've got the defense for the end of the show. We're moving on here. We're close to an hour. Forwards overall. How would you rank where we're at right now? What do you need for next year? What do you guys?
I think we all know what the answer for need is.
Yeah. Never let Vandevelde play ever.
Okay. That being said, the Flyers can acquire via, like, just moving up guys or, like, free agency. What route would you like to see them take?
Well, there is no free agents.
Yeah, there's no...
There's no notable free agents.
Unless you're signing TJ Oshie to a 5-year, $7 million a year contract. Yeah, or Radulov. Radulov would be pretty awesome, but there's no way they can afford him.
So you bring up the Phantoms, and you hope that a full year of G, Filppula, and Kutz shakes itself out.
Okay.
And then you hope to God that German Rubstov's ahead of schedule.
He's ahead of schedule already right now after 1 year, but it's hard to tell because the first year's a crapshoot.
But even when they say that he's ahead now, they still said he's like 2 years away.
They said like Sanheim was ahead of schedule 2 years ago too when he first came to the league, and then he has had trouble with training camp ever since. So who knows? Yeah, all right. So forwards.
But only because you lose Filppula after this year, and unless you're signing him at a discount somehow, then...
Yeah, it'll probably have to be replaced with
you're gonna have to
off. Or they make a play for somebody like Tavares.
They could.
The Islanders.
They move
on
someone like Shen and a ghost or something. I mean, you keep using that one, but
well,
I think it's like
Tavares would be
right
a free
now.
Agent, so they wouldn't have to move anybody. I'm
saying if they wanted to make a play on someone else, they'll make a trade. Yeah. But yeah, you're right, the whole Tavares thing. Now, defense, real quick. Obviously, coming back next year, we have Gudas.
It's going to be.
We have Provorov.
A whole new
we
look.
We have Ghost and McDonald.
Yeah.
Those are our four core guys right now.
Yeah.
Good, that's a pretty good core of players.
Then
I mean, obviously, we can shit on McDonald, but as we always say, it's usually hyperbole. He's not that horrible.
I would like to
it's
see.
It's just the money and the years he's here. And
I would like
to
see him in a diminished role next year.
He's here's the other
no
problem.
No fucking
with
way he plays
top line the minutes other problem, for another
yeah,
entire
the other
season.
Problem with McDonald is he's literally a third pairing defenseman playing first pairing minutes.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to say
McDonald would be great if you had Pronger with him or like
I would
teaming
like
him with him.
I would like the Flyers to pair Provorov and Morin together.
I'd rather have Morin with Ghost.
But I do not like don't put Morin there just like he'll probably start on the third line or the third pair. But like ultimately I'd like to see Morin with Provorov, maybe Ghost. Anyway, I'd like to see McDonald in the third pair and playing like 8 minutes a game, if that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, because I don't think there's any reason for him to be playing top line minutes.
Yeah, it's a defense. There's really the only thing I could see us adding for me, I don't know if you guys agree or not, is maybe adding a veteran defenseman to compete for the seventh spot with Manning if we still have him, if he doesn't get picked up. Or if Manning gets picked up, we have a veteran defenseman to help fill out the bottom.
Right.
Because there's no guarantee that two of your young guys move up in the same season.
Bill Clement made a hilarious because just because it's not even there's no way it would ever happen is what's his first name on the Capitals? His last name's Osner.
Carl
Osner. Free agent after this
so
season.
So nice to see you.
The Bill Clement's like, you know, Carl Osner is up after this season. The Flyers can make a play for him because they need a veteran defenseman.
He just lost his Iron Man streak.
He's also going to get friggin' paid.
Yeah, buku bucks.
Because he's only 28. So it's like, oh yeah, the Flyers are just going to freaking waste all their money on another defenseman.
I also feel like the Capitals aren't going to let him go.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I think they'll probably make a play to save him.
Just sign Brooks Orpik.
Like him and John Carlson, I feel like, are the top two Capitals defensemen. Because like Shattenkirk's gone after next year.
After this year.
And then, or this year. And then how long is Orpik around for?
Well, and you still have Niskanen.
Yeah,
who also got
Matt Niskanen.
Who also got paid to go there.
That's silly.
I forgot Matt Niskanen. He was on the Penguins.
Yeah,
he did so good on the
Penguins. And made
Orpik
all that money.
Orpik and Niskanen were both free agents the same year, and they both signed in Washington.
Which is funny because Orpik was a former Penguin that went to the Kings with a big contract after they won the Cup.
He didn't go to the Kings, did he?
I think he went straight to
Scuderi. Went from the Penguins.
Yeah, Scuderi went from the
and then back to the Penguins.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I messed that one up. Thank God you guys are here to fact check.
Scurds.
I was giving you guys a Jeff stat. I was just testing your knowledge of the game.
Talk about like a Rob Scuderi has Stanley Cups with what, two different teams?
Yeah.
The Penguins and the Kings.
He went back to the Penguins and just
sometimes
nowhere.
You don't. Sometimes you got to be a bystander. Sometimes you don't have to be like the number one guy. You know, he's got to.
Yeah, look at Matt Carl.
It's true. Took his pay cut to play in, was it Nashville this year or did he retire?
I think he did.
Took a pay cut last year to play
in Nashville?
I think
he got bought out, then he got picked up by Nashville and then retired.
That's good.
He retired at the age of 32.
That's what happens when you're not covered up by Pronger.
You always will stick to that no matter what. All right.
You know, he was a Hobey Baker Award winner coming out of college and everybody had high hopes for him. And then literally, Pronger covered up all of his mistakes and made him look way better than he was.
Yeah, and then he got paid $4.2 million.
Yeah, why did Tampa Bay, you don't buy people out of ridiculously priced contracts with years left if you're not tired of their shit.
We all knew that Matt Carl was going to get overpaid for
today, Junior,
for that season. Because what was he, a free agent after Pronger got hurt?
Or, yeah, the one after or right around there.
Yeah,
he went.
And then Tampa Bay was like, money, take it.
Which is funny because we got Tampa Bay in like a three-way trade from like they got him for a second, then we traded Steve Downey to them and got Matt Carl. It was a long thing. Remember that?
Downey.
It was back my freshman year of college that happened. What a long time ago it was. But anyway, I think goalies we don't really go over and touch on, but that's kind of our thoughts for the season. Obviously, we're disappointed, just like the rest of you guys. But I don't think we all saw kind of this as being a major possibility of this happening.
Yeah.
And we knew it. And
if you weren't an angry keyboard warrior, you figured this out.
Yeah.
We're still TTP.
Yeah. Wait.
Trusting the process.
Oh, I thought it was trust the players.
Oh. No, Jeff.
Not the coach,
just
the coach
so cute. He just wants to go to the Flyers Wise Carnival, get an autograph. Trust the players.
Yeah, take a picture with McDonald's.
They won't take you in a broom closet.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Poor Andy Mack by himself.
But we're getting towards the end of the show here. These playoff series looking all right. My bracket needs a little bit of work.
My bracket, if everything were to shake out how it is right now, I'd be toast.
I don't I haven't checked my bracket at all.
I don't think
they don't update it or anything.
I haven't logged in because every time I tried to.
Yeah, awful website.
Yeah.
I think I had.
We even had people tweeted us say they couldn't even get their bracket made because the website was so shitty.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, NHL.
Yeah, you dicks.
Yeah, I have the Caps losing, but I have the Blackhawks winning it all, and they're down.
Yeah,
they're down three right now.
I had the Blackhawks
3-1, right?
I had the Blackhawks.
So my bracket's probably toast.
I have Hawks and Blue Jackets in the finals, like a fucking dolt.
Which, when you look at it, it's an okay thing because I don't need to win this.
It's for the fans. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I made a lot of ballsy picks. That's my story I'm sticking to.
I had the Ducks winning, I'm pretty sure. I had the Penguins winning.
The clown of the duck.
Damn it. I think I have the Rangers beating the Canadiens, which I don't know how that series is going.
It's tied up.
Edmonton beating whoever they're, or Edmonton losing to whoever they're playing.
The Sharks.
Edmonton.
I had the Sharks
winning.
Going to the final, like the East Western Conference final.
The Sharks never go to the final.
Going to the Cup and losing to the Capitals. So we'll see.
The Sharks already cashed in on that.
Should be interesting.
Oh, wait. Do you guys see what happened in that game right now? Did they tell you what time's left
in the
game?
Don't miss a moment.
It's time for...
Shibba-doo-bop-bop. Tweet of the week. Yeah.
Just kidding. It wasn't the game. It was just our show. It's Tweet of the Week, people.
God.
Totally had you guys going there. I know. So the Tweet of the Week this week, Jeff has it right here.
The Tweet of the Week this week is an audio tweet.
What?
Because this gentleman at Generation X-Wing, Patrick M., grabbed a post-game interview with Ottawa goal scorer Bobby Ryan.
Who does the interview?
A penis-headed man named Pierre Maguire.
Regis, okay, I'm in. Let's do it.
First-time winner, Bobby, way to go. Thank you very much. We're at Cherry Hill, New Jersey, right? Is that where I'm from?
Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
That was Bobby Ryan punking Pierre.
Pierre, the look on his face is fucking perfect.
Yeah, he's just like...
he's so angry, but he can't say a
you
word.
Because I'm telling you, dude, he has this weird, like, Asperger-y thing. He needs to get out the information to people.
And I love how...
he has to do it. It's like a nervous tick.
The one Twitter thread that we got involved in, the guy was just like, it's not that he says these facts. It's that he says these facts at the worst possible times.
Yeah. His mom died, she's from Nantucket, just like him. He played hockey there for 10 years, Senators over there. And
it was like a guy elbowed a guy in the face, and there was like an overtime or something, and then like Pierre Maguire's like, yeah, this guy, and Sidney Crosby, and this other person played on the juniors team against these three guys, and it was amazing. Yeah. And they're like... fucks have
it's
to
a
do
creepy
with
old guy watching a bunch of young teens play like, hockey, and he looks at the glory days of watching them in his van.
It's like a penalty in overtime, and all you can do is pinch your tip and talk about junior games involving Sidney Crosby like 15 years ago.
Pinch out the schmegma. Let's do that.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, well.
Cheesy, cheesy.
Pierre, we don't hope for a lot for you, but I think we all can agree we hope one thing for you. That's actually a clip of Pierre's interviews.
Pierre Maguire is the great unifier because no matter what team you root for,
everyone's like, no, what?
Penguins or Flyers.
It's like politics in this country. Everyone always yells at each other, but no one's like, ISIS is like, yeah, fuck ISIS. They suck.
Bruins or Habs. Like,
it took our gerbs.
We all hate Pierre.
Yeah, absolutely. We do. And I really don't think we can do a Lauren Hart wave because I think it's pretty much over. So without further ado. Yeah. I think it's time I share the song of the week. Jeff, you don't have one, you said?
No, I didn't have the time this week.
Oh, well.
To force something in.
That would be... never mind, I'm just going to let that sit there where it is. Here you go, episode 87, song of the week. For all you new listeners, don't worry. This is what we do at end of class. We do this at the end of...
end of class. Sit down, kiddies.
Sorry, I was role-playing earlier. This is what we do at the end of every show.
With myself.
Feel free to turn it off now, but if not, enjoy. Here we go, episode 87. Hey, guess what number? Flyers didn't make the postseason. Hey, guess what number? It's episode 87, yeah. Episode 87, Jeff Sucker Day. Episode 87, day, yeah. Episode 87, yeah.
The obvious choice would have been episode 867589 for...
I'm sorry, Jeff. You
sure
want to hear
something
with the class? Because you don't have a song this week, so shut your trap.
Just be like,
why don't you shut your yapper?
I feel like you really shoehorned that one in there harder than most of the ones I've shoehorned in.
I know. I didn't really work on it too much. I thought of the idea and did it, Jeff.
Oh, all right.
All right. So I don't always have to prepare them. I just am that naturally talented.
That bald guy in this game needs to shave that fucking thing off on the top of his head.
Look at that fat kid behind.
Oh, you know what we didn't talk about? Did you see Dark Guy?
Whoa.
The Leafs fan?
What?
The fat guy with the face paint who was smoking a cigarette. Apparently Canadian people call cigarettes darts.
Oh.
Yeah. It's called dark guy.
That's pretty.
He was talking about how he went to like a Bruins game and like an old lady spit on him. And one of the tweets was like, one of the other tweets was like, and they say Flyers fans are classist. So they get, gotta throw the Flyers in there.
Yeah, there he is. I just have one question for you.
Does he look like a bitch?
No, he was like a big hairy fat man. So
oh, okay.
Looked
good.
Like a bear, if anything.
He had a bitch tits. But anyway.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So that goes our show for this week. I believe we did a little extra today. That was
extracurricular.
For being a episode after the season's over, that was very Flyers and hockey centric, surprisingly.
Yeah. Well, we're still in the sweet spot.
Don't get complacent, people. Summer series is coming soon, and right when you at least expected, I will have a pair of underwear on my head getting drunk. We will be talking about things.
Going to be Drew by himself, though.
That's fine.
Jeff and I aren't even going to show up.
It's true.
I have a bunch
we'll
of.
Just vote
I, have
it
a,
in.
I have a large yeah. stable of comics that
we'll
will
come
on the show.
We'll just call into 1-800-PUCK-YEAH.
Oh, also, first time, long time.
Yeah.
T-shirts, actually, local sales have been going out the roof. We're going to get some more stock in. Our online store is just about ready to go. Just waiting a couple more things. We have everything set up. They will be available online, so stay tuned. Next week, we'll have all the details, so check our website sometime early next week or on Twitter at the BSP Podcast, on Instagram at the BSP Podcast, Broad Street Bully Podcast on Facebook or BroadStreetBully.net. That's where you want to check out everything. We'll have the online store there. It's safe through PayPal. It's going to be glorious.
Yes.
You can get all your stuff. We have all our koozies available, including rarities. We didn't think we were going to bring back. We're bringing them back.
We will
only people got
address,
those.
Though.
And no, it will not. It goes through PayPal. It'll be fine. But I will know because I'm running the PayPal. I'm just kidding. I will not send you feces, but I will send you clippings of my pepperoni nips.
You'll get just
hair.
What you ordered.
Yes.
And that's it.
And that's it.
Plus some extra love, I think.
Yeah. We don't want you to think we're friends.
Yeah, exactly. You weirdos. You little peons that listen. I'm just kidding.
Creeps.
Yeah. So that pretty much does it for us here this week. Don't forget Mondays at Bobby Ray's. Actually, Joe Walker's buddy came up and talked to me. He knew me through the podcast.
Oh, my God.
Through Joe Walker.
I've
so,
seen you've been so not funny for so long. It's nice to meet
you're you. You're a nobody. Stop trying to act like you're somebody.
I'm a somebody.
So mad. Look at his face.
I'm not mad. I'm mad at you how red-faced you are.
I'm going
right
to make it. I'm going to make it, Dottie.
I'm fine.
Gonna get in my car and drive down the turnpike like a Bruce Springsteen song.
Yeah. So Bobby Ray's Monday nights.
Yeah.
Come see the funny happen under the stars.
Don't forget your tomatoes.
Forget your tomatoes. It's a certified fresh on this tomato meter.
I'll talk to you guys later.
This has been the Broad Street Bully Podcast with your hosts, Drew Papsky and Jeff DeAngelis.
And Doyle.
Available on iTunes, Stitcher, and BroadStreetBully.net. Follow the show on Twitter at the BSB Podcast.